Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week, we had two posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. The first post described the study where the authors found that athletes with a recent concussion are approximately 2.5 times more likely to sustain a lower extremity injury within 90 days after return to play compared with athletes without a concussion. Our second post this week was about a study where the authors found that 6 weeks of a dynamic injury prevention warm-up program results in biomechanical improvements that last up to 6 months after stopping the program. It may be important to perform these programs continually or reinforce these programs every 6 months. The authors found that cadets in the dynamic injury prevention program had reduced vertical ground reaction forces, and at most time points posed to intervention in comparison with cadets in a standard warm-up program. Compared with before the dynamic injury prevention program, cadets had reduced ground reaction force at 2, 4, and 6 months post-dynamic intervention, but not at the 8-month post-program visit. The cadets' vertical ground reaction force gradually returned to baseline measurements over the course of the follow-up period. Less scores improved in both groups immediately post and at 4 and 6 months after the programs. The 6-week dynamic injury prevention program resulted in cadets landing softer for approximately 6 months after the cessation of the program. Hence, the injury prevention program had a biomechanical effect and improved landing mechanics, but these benefits do not last forever. It may be interesting to see if repeating the injury prevention program would aid in creating a more lasting neuromuscular pattern and help us to avoid deterioration to initial faulty pattern. This study is interesting since these programs could prevent joint injuries, which in the short term could prevent time lost to injury and in the long term reduce the risk to osteoarthritis. To continue to benefit from these programs, the authors noted that injury prevention programs may need to be performed constantly or at least every sports season in order for participants to maintain protective effects against injury. This may be most efficiently implemented by encouraging the teams we work with to incorporate injury prevention programs into their practice routine. Both posts this week got a lot of attention. I thought the first post was really interesting because it's another sign that something is happening after concussions that increases the risk of a person's injury. We've seen this now in at least 2 posts on sportsmedrez.org, where we describe studies that suggest that people after a concussion seem to be more likely to get a new injury. In this post that we had this week, the question was raised whether or not we might be returning our athletes to play too soon after a concussion. So perhaps we need to have new metrics for deciding when to return a person back to play after a concussion so that we can ensure that their neuromuscular recovery is sufficient enough to enable them to return to play safely. Alternatively, another way to look at this might be that after concussion, we need to consider whether there are certain rehab aspects that we need to implement to help prevent the risk of injury down the road. The other study this week, which we really highlighted in this podcast, is interesting because it's another example that demonstrates that after a neuromuscular program or after a dynamic warm-up program, people gradually return back to where they were in their faulty movement patterns. The implications of this are important, one, for the injury prevention point of view, I think, as the authors so eloquently put in their paper, that this really highlights the need for continual training or for the injury prevention programs to be truly incorporated into team practices so that it's there every season. But another thing that we might need to start thinking about is what happens to our people after they finish rehabbing us, so after an injury. So for example, you have a patient who has an ACL injury, you rehab them, and as part of that rehab, you do some neuromuscular re-education, some training, you work on their landing mechanics, then we clear them back to play, they return to play, and now we have to start wondering, well, how long did the benefits of the rehab last? Perhaps our people after injuries are also regressing back to their faulty movement patterns, And maybe that helps explain why some of these people are at risk for a second injury. So it makes you wonder if the results of this injury prevention study are also kind of giving us a hint that after we rehab a person after a knee injury, we also need to consider whether we need to have permanent or continual or some kind of booster sessions periodically to ensure that our patients maintain the optimized movement patterns during their sporting activities. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a webinar presented by Dr. Ken Cameron on traumatic injury and arthritis in the military. This webinar was hosted by the Osteoarthritis Action Alliance. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.